Alrighty, what's cracking? Welcome to the Just Join Jerry podcast. It's your boy, Chef NY. Today we're mixing things up a little bit. We're going to be interviewing the one and only Jerry Ernest Estrada.
I told him that literally a couple minutes ago. I don't share that information with people. Of course he's going to say that right now.
Well, when you have such a charming name like Ernest, I think I have to.
The Ernest Erningston of Ale or something like that. It has to.
Jay Ernie.
Damn.
That's the new nickname.
I was going Ernie. More for like the Bridgerton. What's that show your wife watches, Josh?
Bridgerton.
Is it that?
Yeah, it just sucks.
Yeah, no. You know, I was thinking you might take it in that direction because it's like Ernest Duke of Canoga. You know, something. Man. You didn't do that, though.
Yeah, there's a Duke of Canoga. I'm pretty sure it's behind one of your shops.
No, that's the homie Duke from Canoga. Oh, that's a whole different.
I apologize.
Yes, sir.
Well, how you doing today?
Today I'm okay.
Nobody cares. All right. Well, let's check this out. Let's for those of you that don't understand or know what you've been going through. I do. I've been here. Go ahead and break down the last couple of months of what's been going on, man.
Sheesh. All right. So let's go back six. Like that, we can chronologically, big word session today. Break it down. So 6 months ago, things are pretty peachy. What was 6 months ago? Man. Somewhere like November. November. I think is pretty okay, pretty peachy. Christmas time comes around, it's all right. I have at that time I have the both barbershops, you know, going. I want to say pretty strong, but we're going. You know what I mean? We're seeing hope, right? At that time. Right about, you know, we're coming out of the Rona mentality. I had the partner at the Topanga location, so I really wasn't focusing too much on it. I was just allowing him to do his thing. On the surface, at least, under the water, we had some rifts in our thinking. It's not a bad thing or a good thing. It's just rifts. The way he liked to do things, the way I like to do things. I'll do a whole different one on the importance of mindsets, you know, being cohesive, another big one, for the, you know, when creating a partnership. But we feel rifts under the water, but we don't show it over the water. Mm. Even though at times I do feel like the people working with us can feel it. So boom, that's December. January, February, we really start, those rifts really start shifting a lot, like a lot. At that time, I'm focusing on the Up Next Investments company. So I really needed that to be like solid and then the Winneka to be solid to free me up. So at that time, I'm still juggling. Life is still apparently okay. Because you don't expect every month to be like amazing months. So right around mid-February, end of February, just shit hit the fan. When it comes to my partner.
And what do you mean by that?
Shit hit the fan, meaning we just, it was things that were unbendable. Like he drew lines in the sand and then I drew lines in the sand. And it was just already to that point where it's just, you know, we were crossing those lines. And it wasn't, I mean, it's not like disrespectful things on morally wrong things, but it was just the direction that he wanted to take the shop and that I thought the shop should be. And then
two different visions.
And then I think that a lot of it had to do with like he wanted to put a lot of limitations on what my part was.
And you guys were 50-50?
No. So man, that's where it gets complicated. And I am also tippy-toeing around a lot of things because at the end of the day, I like to build bridges, not burn them. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say anything that makes him look in a certain way because that's unfair to him. He's not here. So I don't want to say certain things. And then at the same time, I think that I want to get the point across without the details, like let people piece certain things together. But I'll tell you the biggest deal breakers for me. The biggest deal breakers was, I mean, I'm a people person. So anybody who knows me knows if I walk in a room and say, hey, what's up? What? And I'm shaking people's hands. I'm wheeling and dealing. I like to entertain in those atmospheres. I think that that's one of the things that kind of has separated me, where it's just like, no, I want you to leave and have a good story. Like, oh, I laughed or da-da-da. Like, I want to bring some sort of joy into a room. So I had done that a couple times. And my partner, like, literally was just like, oh, you know what? It sends the wrong message. Like, all of the guys here start then, like, you know, trying to rub shoulders with you. And it takes away from my authority. And, I mean, I really wasn't there to take away from authority, but I am who I am. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when I walk into a room, I'm not going to be quiet. I'm not going to blend in. I'm not going to be like a flower on the wall. It's going to be, how was that thing you did the last time and all that. So anyways, I did it a couple times. Next thing you know, some of his guys would start blowing me up with certain problems. And I was just like, all right, maybe, you know, maybe he has a point. So I'll concede to that. And I stopped going to the shop. That was one. The next one, I end up talking to one of the barbers and they had mentioned some things, right? And then my partner was saying that maybe I was too critical of him. And I don't know. I want to be open-minded. So he was, not when I mean of him, like of the way he's running the shop.
Yeah.
So I head out and I noticed that there's a lot of things that haven't been done that should have been done a minute ago. And I went to go check out the shop, and then it was just like, okay. It's like, it's hard for me not to be critical when it's like we bought some shelves for off of OfferUp, you know, and like 3 months ago, and they're at the bottom next to the reception desk where everybody can see. And it's like, all right, well, 3 months? 3 months, really? You know, like, so it's just started like water droppings at night, just really like keeping me up. And then, you know, finding out like, oh, there hadn't been water bottles for the customers in a month and a half. I'm just like, all righty. And it was just like one thing after another. Now, obviously, right now I'm pointing out the bad. There's a trillion things that he was doing that was good. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to make it seem like he was a disaster. He wasn't a disaster. It's just that there were certain things that to me was just like, every time I'd bring it up, like, well, why are you criticizing it? And I'm like, because I'd rather criticize it than a customer criticize it. So I'm not criticizing you. I'm criticizing it. Don't take it personal. So anyways, that was like another big rift that was going on, where it's just like I had requested that the place was painted, and it was like a bunch of homies that came through to paint. And it's like, you could see just it was halfway done. It was splattered everywhere. There was... It was just like, man, for $250, somebody did that, you know, like, come on now. But I'm trying to be patient. I'm trying to allow him to grow as well, because I understood it was a fresh partnership and it was his first time really in business ownership.
But on the flip side, it's your baby.
It is my baby. Yeah. And
so you were probably a lot more lenient and generous than most business owners would be.
I think so. You know,
it's different when you're coming in together for something new, but when it's already established and you're an outsider coming in, there needs to be certain standards.
And I think that was the difference, was that his personality and mine are two different lanes, and there's pros and cons in each lane. And when I gave him the flexibility to say, okay, well, you know, add your splash to it, add your touch to it, you know, Picasso it in your way. That's when it was just like, okay.
Maybe the shelves on the floor, where's his splash?
No, I don't think so. You know, I one of the things is like, I think that sometimes shit gets so overbearing that the same way that they say sleep is a factor of depression, right? Where it's just like, I just want to sleep 18 hours a day because every time I wake up, my problem's here. But if I go to sleep, so now you're running from life through sleep or through weed or through alcohol, whatever it is. I think that when you're in business ownership, and every small business owner can relate, there's moments where it's like a perfect storm and you're getting hit in every direction. and you just want to, like, man, I wish I was an employee and I could just go to work and then and go back. And you start sinking, right? So I think that at some point, because he was so great at other things, social media, he's, you know, a thousand times better than me. You know, there was things that he was doing that where he was shining, but then I think he, like, emotionally was sinking in when it came down to, hey, let's stay up to 3 a.m. and paint. Let's do this. Let's do that. Like, let's work nonstop until the shop looks. It was just, that's what I felt was like. That's why he would rather not me come to the shop to point out, hey, dog, that's not there and that's not there. And how come that's still not done? And how come that shelf is over there? And how come that is? How come we're not using this room? You know, it's an empty room. Why don't we have that a break room for the barbers and make them happy? Like, it was things, bro, that I showed up. Well, I'll get to that right now. But anyways, the third and final straw for me was I did have a percentage of ownership. So every dollar that goes into that place, there was going to be a percentage that was mine. And I didn't have camera access because he put in his own cameras.
Wild.
Yeah. I mean, it's wild when you're talking between business owners, right?
To me, that's an immediate red flag.
It to everybody, but here's the thing: where he was trying to play it like an emotional angle. As well, shouldn't you, if we're partners, shouldn't you trust me? Mm. And it's like, Doug, stop trying to paint me as a mean guy. Like, if I was in business with my mom, I'd do it. Like, and I know my mom wouldn't steal a dime from me, but if I was in business with my mom, it's just the principle that we have that as a safe gate, you know, and to build trust. Sometimes you have to do certain things like that.
Yeah.
That's, you know, so it's just like, and he's like, yeah, but I'm going to be giving you all the books. So you should definitely trust that. I'm like, yeah, bro, but you think you're not going to a couple of days out of the office, something's not going to happen. Like, I'm your backbone too. You know, like, hey, I'm going to be out for a couple of days. I don't want to be paying attention to the cameras and all that. Can you take a look? But he just didn't want none of that. And at that point I told him, you know, it's like, yo, this is going to be a deal breaker. So I need that code. I told him like 2-3 times, I need that code or it's going to be a deal breaker. A month passes. Hey, bro, I mean, I don't know if you feel that I'm going to just forget about this and go away, but I'm not. And that's when shit hits the fan. And we just say, you know what, Doug, it's just not working out type of thing. I definitely wish him the best, and I really feel that he will be successful. You know what I mean? I saw him as a friend before all of this, and I still want to see him as a friend. Don't know how he sees me, but it's just one of those things where, you know, go do you and I'm gonna do me. Day one, I walk back into the shop and I just call everybody, bro, and I go nuts. I call electricians. We need more electrical grid. We're going to add 3 more stations. We need more lighting. We need more this. We need more that. We need more that. We need a paint right. Okay, boom. I had the painters in 2 days later. And I think in those 3 days, I must have worked. Because I closed the shop down for 3 days. Maybe I slept like 3 hours each day.
Okay.
3-4 hours.
And for those that don't know, so you have 2 shops, right? One is the one you're having the issue with.
Mm-hmm.
So in a 24-hour window, you take it over and you immediately start making these calls.
All of it.
So there's a 3-day period of just nonstop renovations and fixing up and et cetera.
Bringing barber chairs. Well, you were one of the people who helped me. So bringing the barber chairs from the other shop that are excess over to this one, the stations.
So what was going through your mind at that point in time? Because you already had one existing barbershop.
Do you go numb? Like, that's the main thing for me is I went fully numb, but it's almost like you're two people because you don't have time to feel numb. Mm. I don't have time to feel sad. I don't have time to feel bad. So it's like I'm making phone calls and I'll feel like shit in little moments when I'm silent. I'm taking boiling hot showers and just that's when it's just like, dude, is what the hell just happened? And da 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 da. Then you get out of the shower, you get dressed. Let's get it.
Game face.
So it's just one of those things that it. As I'm building, this is where we transition. So we're building, and I've said this so many times, where it's like every time you're a business owner that's like this, you take everyone along with you. So the difference between a business owner and a employee is that the employees crave stability. Employees don't want to know which location they're going to work at today. They don't want to know what times they can work. They don't want to know that the shop is shutting down for 3 days. What are they going to tell their customer? They like a pattern and a habit. Now, us crazy business owners, it almost fucking kicks our... We get rocks. Our rocks get kicked out of it. You know what I mean? Like, don't know how to put that, but it's almost like the challenges make us feel like business owners.
Yeah, the steadiness has become stagnant and you're just like...
Yeah.
Eventually, you almost feel like you're standing still.
Yeah, so... For me, I don't mind the hecticness of running a business. I don't mind the hecticness of, it's almost like a fireman, you know, it's like a thrill every fire I put out, right? So as I'm going through shit, my guys are going through shit. And I have such a huge heart for them that I'm just like, oh man, I'm so sorry, but it has to be done. What they didn't know at this time was I had sat down and said, should I close one of the shops? Mm. The shop I would have closed is Winneka. Mm. So I would have ended up moving the barbers to Topanga and then just announcing that we were going to shut down and that let that location go. So they don't know this. They don't know. You know what I mean? Like I'm, yeah. They're the scenes. All they're doing is they want to see Jerry hanged for his crimes. What I'm seeing is, how am I going to look at, you know, all my people at Winneka that aren't going to make the cut for Topanga in the eye and tell them, find something, book it. You know, do you...
Tough part about being a business owner or the boss.
Man. So then it's the mentality was, if this is the Titanic, I'm going down with it. Like that's the type of captain I'll be, you know? So the boat is sinking. And I think I had talked to you a month prior or whatever, where I told you like I was questioning like everything about keeping the business and all that kind of stuff. So we move from that to saying, well, Jerry, you've always had, you know, the girls here, and then you've had the guys with the girls in the same location, and it's always been so strange, like trying to.
It's a whole different type of energy trying to, for those of you that don't know, he's got girls that are...
Estheticians.
Yeah, estheticians.
Cosmetologists.
All that good stuff.
Barbers.
And you're mixing that in with a man's barbershop.
Yes.
So for those of you that know a barbershop, you know...
The conversations, the talks, the looks. All right, so, but here's the next step to that. To me, it felt like when the woman brings her kids and meets a man that brings his kids. And it's like, you guys are gonna get along together. You know what I mean? Because we're a family now, right? So that's almost like the feeling that we had. Now, all of this goes back now. Let's take it back a little bit to where during the pandemic, all this came out. Like, this is spurring out of the middle of a pandemic where we're trying to save the business. So now this is like the third time trying to save the same business. And me just being stubborn and saying, I'll figure it out. I know I can figure it out. But at the same time, like, you're just like, damn, if you're in war, how many times is my ship going to get hit by torpedoes before we're, you know, the water's too much and it's coming in? So we're finally making it out of that when we hit November, December, and we start celebrating. We're like, all right, okay, good. But then I noticed that it's like for the estheticians, you know, they're doing facials and lashes and it's a lot of girls. What I noticed was maybe the atmosphere was capping them, like a bottle cap, where they couldn't go more than what they were doing because three out of every five women that walked into the business would say, I don't know how I feel about, you know, 10 men being in here while I'm here to get my services. Some are intimate services. It's more in their head because we weren't even thinking that. We could think, oh, you're getting your armpits waxed. Doesn't necessarily mean you're getting the meow meow waxed. So, it was a lot in their head, but it was still there. So then once all of this happened, we were never supposed to dissolve the Topanga partnership in the manner that we did. Like, we were supposed, she was supposed to be peachy, happy. We weren't planning for it, but boom. So as it happens, I go into, like, the house is on fire. Where are my kids? I need to save them. You know, my important paperwork. Like, you're in, what's that mode called? Survival mode. So I immediately go into survival mode and I say, you know, a couple years back on the Instagram, there's a Instagram called, like, Generation Beauty House that I invented like 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, just because I wanted as a goal to say, hey, one day I want you, you know, I want to own a beauty salon. My mom's owned six. Maybe I can do it as a homage to her, you know, just figure out a way to do it well. So I go and I do that. So this wasn't like a new idea, but it was an idea that had been put on the back burner. And then it's just like, you know what? If there was ever a time to do it, in my head at least, this was it.
So during the time of the renovations and all the chaos going on, at some point in time, something clicked in your head and was like, hey.
No, it was right before. It was before, yeah. Like, when I started the renovations over there, I already knew what I had to do over there. Mm. It's something painful. And then boom, that happens, right? And I tell my barbers that were at the Weneca location, I'm like, hey guys, I'm gonna need you over there, because now that my partner's not over there anymore, you know, it's just like, who's gonna have my back there? And I'm not saying that I couldn't trust anybody there, because there are some people that I could trust, but I knew that the weight of what was gonna be asked from them, like, they were gonna need a supporting cast.
Yeah, you needed to build a super team.
Yeah, I needed to build a super team. And that, actually, that's a great analogy, because my vision was that. It was like, get the best that were already there and then get rid of a couple that there were part-timers or da-da-da. It's just like, bro, you're taking up a station for somebody that can be a full-timer, right? And this is where shit, like, if you go through this roller coaster with me, you'll understand. But so this is happening. All of my barbers agree. And then they go, boom. So I create more stations. There's a grid now. Everything is that side is done. Now I have to create a beauty salon from scratch. Scratch. This wasn't something where it's just like, oh, Jerry had this up his sleeve. I didn't expect that situation to happen. I did not have this up my sleeve. So I'm a father. You know, my girls, you know, I'm still her man. Like, I still have man responsibilities. I got a hubby responsibilities. I got the business owner aspect going on. And then I have Up Next Investment. Then I have the Just Join Jerry podcast. Then I have everything else that goes on in my life. So at that point, it was just, when do you have time to actually come do this? And to make it worse, like, everybody, you know, sees from the outside in, but to make shit worse, at Topanga, I now had everyone who could have helped me at Weneca. So if I need extra hands, what extra hands? You know, I got you, you know what I mean? Hit you up, boom, whenever you can, but you're a busy man yourself. You're a business owner yourself. So a lot of it was like, Jerry's working from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., cutting hair, drive back home, pick up the kids, take them to grandma and grandpa, wait for mom. Mom gets there from work. They're fed. They're ready for bed. They're ready for school. All right, I got to go. Now I take off, and I'm at the shop like 8:30 p.m. to 2 in the morning.
And now that you've invited us into your home, did any of this come back with you into your house? Did your wife feel the stress and the chaos? And
you know what? She did. She's been great. She's been better than most women would have been. Because at that point, when all of this is going on, she works at a stressful environment. She works, you know, for a major corporation. She's a nurse.
On top of yours, she has her own list.
She's got her own list of complaints. And then she's still a mother. And she's still a daughter, you know, and she's still a wifey. And she's putting up with all of this shit that most women would either snap or snap you for it. You know what I mean? Find you as the punching bag because you're causing that chaos. Mm. And I'm telling her, like, man, I don't know if I'm stubborn, too stubborn to quit on something, but I, you know, I just feel like I have to go balls deeper. Like, I'm already one ball deep. I got to get both balls deep type of thing.
She was in support of this.
She was.
She was behind you. Like,
she was. You know why? Because I went up to her and I was like, look, so in order to get the business partner out, I gotta now dig in to our money and grab this money and give this money back to him. So, and then on top of that, I had to spend the exact amount of money that I had to give him.
Renovations
to prepare the vision for the beauty salon and for the barbershop. The barbershop's starting to get there, but still, you know, so she had to okay all of that. And all she had to say was no, and I wouldn't have done it. I would have let go of the Winneka.
I'm glad you didn't, because I like that spot.
It has its pros and cons for sure.
I also existed since the very beginning there, so.
For reals. So yeah, so that happens. She says, she was the one who said, get your shop back. She said, get your shop back, turn it into, because pre-COVID, G-Cuts was the spot. Man, pre-COVID, Generation Cuts was just like a rocket taking off. And there's COVID made me pivot, and it's just like, all right, it's almost like that. You're in a maze, and
especially being in California with all the
regulations, fucking, restrictions, yeah, everything. So, and then not just that, but I also feel that because other barbershops were so great at marketing and at social media that they were able to navigate because they had a direct connection with their clients, as opposed to the way that I use social media. So that has a factor into it. But anyways, and then another one is just at times I have no supporting cast. That it just comes down to, Jerry, you need to do this. Jerry, you need to do that. Jerry, you need to do, hey, Jerry, we don't have this. Hey, Jerry, we don't have that. Hey, Jerry, we don't have this. Hey, Jerry, the towels. Hey, Jerry. And you're just like, and now it's two businesses that treat you in the same way.
So I'm going to hit you with something that I've been telling you for a while. What's stopping you, or why don't you put in a structure of, I don't know, maybe like a chain of command type of thing, where, and then you got to hold each individual in that chain responsible for X and O.
Yes. First thing is, I've never worked at a corporation. So I've been a barber since I was 17 years old. And I don't want to say never. I worked at Yoshinoya. I worked at Subway. Subway fired me in 2 days. Yoshinoya fired me in, like, I don't know, 3 weeks. Where else have I worked? CCC. I got fired there for picking the mashed potato during work. It looked good. I wasn't in my right mind frame at the time, and food looks good when you're not in that mind frame.
I'm surprised you never got a job at your all-time favorite.
Oh, man, that'd get fired in the first half hour.
Be the GM of that.
So when it comes to understanding corporate structures, my mind just doesn't work like that. Yours does, because of all of your background. So for me, it's like I always used to work at like hood barbershops, where it was just the barber, and he opens a business and you cut hair, and that's it. That's your structure.
Any that foundation, brother.
Any complaints go to the shop owner. So, but here, I'll take you even deeper into my mindset and everything that's going on. So, because my wife's vacation times have to be pre-done, because she has to, months in advance, have to pick a week.
Yeah, same.
And then it gets okayed. All right, then we're gonna go do. So the week that this happens, the very next week, we have to leave on vacay. And couldn't have been the worst timing, because me, I'm not afraid of hard work. So
it also looks bad on.
Oh, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. It looks like, oh, the boat is sinking and this dude just wants to go on the island by himself and have a good time and then come back. So I understand the optics of it. And to make things worse, I didn't even really, like, my mind wasn't fully there. So it's not like I was enjoying the vacation, but as I'm gone on vacation, I get the text messages immediately that three of my best people won't be with me by the time I come back. Yeah. And these two of them, well, all three of them, we had, you know, we had spent so much time together. It feels like family. Mm. So it's like, you know, it feels like family, and boom, they book it. I'm like, all right, cool.
And why do you think that was?
Same, the thing I was saying, where it's like, I'm taking you through this roller coaster, and sometimes they just want to know where they're going to go to work, and they want to do the same thing every single day.
So you feel like they didn't believe in you when it was going
up? Oh, of course they stopped believing.
There was no going back up.
There's no going back. There's no begging. There's no, like, I can't tell.
Shit like that motivate you more?
No.
Why not?
Because that's not why I do it. The reason why I do everything is in the hopes that I can create a financially free future for me and my kids. They don't have anything to do. Like, my ego of, oh, fine, you don't believe in me, let me prove to you that that's not how I flow. You know, that's not what flows out of me. For me, it's just like, I hope you guys find a great situation for yourselves. You know, if we bump into a restaurant, maybe we could have some food together and talk, and I want to know about your kids, and I want to know about, like, that to me is just like, because for me it's like, at that point, what do? It's like, you created the havoc, so what are you supposed to say? You guys are tripping.
So if it doesn't motivate you, does it weigh on you?
Oh man, so what it does to me is, those are the moments where reality creeps into, where it's like, you're not who you think you are. And then, but for me, the way that it works is, it humbles me. Hmm. There's people who, when they get attacked in that manner,
automatic
self-defense.
Yeah.
They're tripping. They don't know. Yeah, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. I'm the GOAT. And for me, it's just like, okay, let's run it back. What have you put them through in the last 2 to 3 months? And then it's just like, yeah, I'd be leaving too. Hmm. You know, so
it could be different if you had more of open communication with everybody.
I have open communication.
Yeah.
None of it was like, when I found out, they found out. Hmm. But it seems like it wasn't open communication because everything was happening so fast. Hmm. So every 3 days, as I'm coming up with the plans, it's like, this is what we're going to do. All right, this is what we're going to do.
And you react, so your reaction time is so short and quick that for them it may look like, oh, he knew this all along.
Or either he knew this all along, or he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Mm-hmm. And he's just coming up with it as he goes. That's exactly what it was. When you think about it.
That's wild to me, because you've been, how long has G-Cuts been open for?
5 years. So, but here's the thing. I, for me, it almost sounds like I'm defending them, because I really am. When you think about it, the peak of G-Cuts to me, like, what represents G-Cuts, the moment in time, was Richie, my cousin, Chris, obviously my boy XL, Sandra, Alex.
Sandra's not there anymore, huh?
No. That's another one. But so Alex, not Alex, ex-business partner, but Alex from the original cast. Everybody who's been with me for a minute knows Alex. And then Big Mike.
Yeah.
So when you think of that cast and our 3-4 hour wait line and the atmosphere and everything, that was a much simpler time to run a business for me. You know, it was just about making people laugh and enjoy themselves, and they could play on the pool table. They played in the air hockey table, and it was just one of those things where it was pure, like a pure barbershop. Post-COVID, as a barbershop owner, it's more about how the shop looks. Mm-hmm. It's more about, are you branding your barbers? It's more about how you navigate, like, the digital world.
Why can't you combine it all?
My brain doesn't. So that's the part that, again, so when I said that that stuff humbles me, those are the moments where it's just like, Doug, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. And I just go in the mirror and I'm just like, it's your fault. What are you going to do? In a perfect world, what would end up happening is I would meet the right people that say, you suck at this. This is what I can do for you. There, whether it's barbers that come into the shop or cosmetologists, where it's just like, look, you're struggling with this. Let me be in charge of the TikTok account. And then the TikTok account, we can repost the same video all over the other accounts because it's easily shareable. See, that to me, and then I think that because I take so much time to actually be behind the chair cutting hair, a lot of the, some of the stuff that has to, like, it's a necessity or a must, doesn't get done. Again, I don't get on the defensive. I haven't told the barbers like it's their fault or they're tripping. There's other things I can say where I felt maybe they quit on me too soon because there should have been more appreciation for other aspects. But I don't want to like hang my coat on that. You know what I mean? That's not the rep I'm trying to have. So once all this shit happening, okay, so now just to catch everybody up, shit hit the fan, my barbers have left. This is about a month ago now that we're right about the month cusp. Some of my best barbers left to, the next day I hire the replacements. I'm bringing now, a whole new cast, and it makes me feel great, but at the same time you're still in the middle of, it's almost like in basketball terms, me and you understand basketball terms, it's almost like the Pelicans right now, where it's like they put together a team and they're showing promise, but you lost. You know what I mean? You're losing out of the first round, but it's just like watch next year. Right So right now G-Cuts BU Hermosa, no, G-Cuts is at that stage where it's just like, we have everyone we need. We have motivated people. We have people who want to, be a part of the vision. People who are looking at you again with those eyes where it's just like, you're saying what you're going to do and they're taking you for your word. They're not working against you. Some of them are saying like, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. Oh, okay, cool. You plan that out. Here's my card. Let's run it. Like, people who are involved and are bringing the energy back in, to G-Cuts. So it's at a point where, and that's why being a business owner is so depressing, but then empowering, but then passionate. Like, you're always going through an emotion because you're going through shit that should be making you sad, but then you are finding ways to make it happy.
And yet they say you shouldn't be mixing emotions with business.
Yeah, and especially when you're the face of a business, like, that's, okay, haha. So anyways, now that everybody's caught up, where G-Cut stands right now is we have a couple leftover, like, people from our teams, and then it's a whole new cast. There's a lot of training that has to go into it, right? How do you think my wife feels where it's just like, hey, I know that I worked 100 hours next week, but next week I'm going to have to work 106. there's not enough hours. There's not enough time. There's not enough. And then it's like, I know what I need to do to catch them up to speed. For example, normally Sundays are untouchable, right? Why don't I bring, I have a bunch of barber friends that are really good. Why don't I host teaching classes and have all my new guys for the next month, have a different barber's perspective on how to do a fade, how to do a taper, how to do, bring a specialist in scissor cuts, bring a specialist in this. Well, I need to be there too. So it's just like, I can't ask my guys to put in that work and then be like, all right, well, so that's where everything is standing right now with them. And now it's just like, I've never wasted so much gas in my life. And what a time to do it at too, where it's like, I'm ping ponging to make sure that I'm present in every business. Everybody's seeing me in every business. And it can, like, those car rides are super, that's where it's very overwhelming because you get in front of people and it's just like, as a leader, you have to instill like a sense of direction and passion in what you're doing and da da.
It's when you're left alone.
And inspire, exactly. Then you're driving from one business to the other and you're just like, what am I doing right now? So as I'm going and I'm teaching, every time I step into the shop, it's like, hey, I saw what I, you know, let me teach you this technique for that moment. Da-da-da-da. Let me do this. Let me do that. So, and then at the same time, it's like, we're out of this. We're out of that. We're out of this. And you're just, okay, all right, I'll go right now. I'll go right now. So you're just taking punches left and right and da-da-da-da-da, which goes back to the system thing, right? So, but I'm just explaining like literally where it is right now. I don't want to paint a fake picture. Mm. So that's where it is right now. Then let's go now to building the beauty salon from scratch. You know, we're building this beauty salon up, and I know what I want up here, right? When people step into the Up Next investment business, people understand that me and Josh had something here and we spit it out. We spit it on every wall, and everything was designed in a certain way, and everything, we understood what was clashing, what wasn't, what was doing. We had to return some things. It's not the right color gold. So we really went, but we took some time. We took 2 months to screenshot each other till 2-3 in the morning. Like, what do you think about this? Nope, not this one. This one over here. What do you think about carpet in here for the sound? Oh, yeah. Or in my case, like, oh, these dope wood floors. And then Josh can't have wood floors because of the mics. And so all of this stuff going on, but we knew here, right? When the partnership breaks up, I had to then go, okay, so if I would have took a long time, how would it look? That's where it starts to get like, oh, okay. Mm. So you start ordering things and you know, you want to make it girly. So you get pink walls, and then you get some people in there like, that's too pink. And you go to another one, that's not pink enough. And you go to another one, it's just like, well, the old way wasn't bad. And you go to another one, it's just like, and you're just right there. Like every time you're talking to people, it's giving you heart attacks. Because, or here's like a big one for me right now, where it's like before the, you know, all the Estes and the Cosmos, not really the Cosmo, but all the Estes were like, oh yeah, it's just too loud. It's like, it's too rowdy, or there's too many guys and da da da. All right, let me fix that for you. Now it's too quiet.
That's for them to build that environment.
But now it's too quiet. And now it's like all the stuff that their customers would tell them before, like, oh, I kind of miss the guys. Like, you know, it's like, I kind of miss the, you know, walking in here. And little by little, it's almost like you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, mm-hmm. putting you into a whole nother thought spin cycle. Okay. So you stop, you breathe, and the point I am right now is I'm going to do what I feel is right.
Amen to that.
And you guys will have to mold to it, as opposed to me trying to mold to 4 or 5 different people. Right? So I never had that problem with G-Cuts, because when you used to walk into G-Cuts pre-COVID, it felt like Jerry. Hmm. Like you walked in there, and if you knew who I was, you knew that atmosphere. You know, it was loud, borderline obnoxious, charismatic.
Jokes and sports.
Jokes, energy. Sports, yeah. Energy, and, you know, talking about what you're going to do that weekend, and Rosarito trips, and all this, you know, Vegas trips. You knew what you were getting. So when it comes to now the beauty salon, it's like, I also know exactly now, you know, where we're heading with it. And I'm excited. We're building the team. Shout out to Lexi, that's running things. We got, you know, Joanna, amazing. Vero's amazing. Freddie's amazing. Luna is amazing. We're starting now to start like really like, okay, all that's missing, because the construction is done. It's making sure that the branding is cohesive. The BU Hermosa, it's like a young Latin vibe, a Latin girl vibe, real like Miami style almost vibe. And then the cool thing that, you know, I'm seeing out of all of it is I researched all the beauty salons nearby. A lot of them are like, they're stuck in the 60s, mm-hmm. 70s and 80s. And when you walk in there, you're just like, okay. And it's like, I would bring my granny here to get her perm. And that's not a bad thing if they're killing it. If it comes down to money. I don't care what they're doing. If you're making money, more power to you.
Today's world, it's everything needs to be social media
worthy.
Approval.
Well, yeah. And then I was explaining this to my mom because I was talking to her earlier today. And I told her, you know why you're successful, mom? I was like, you've been doing this for 42 years, right? But when she started, she got young girls who then became mothers, who then became grandmothers, who then became great-grandmothers who still come to her. But through that life cycle, the grandmother now brings the daughter and the daughter's daughter and the daughter's daughter because they're all used to seeing Tia Isabel. They'll call her Tia, Mama Isabel, or, you know, whatever. So what I told her is, like, because of our youth, you know, we have Freddie's young, Vero's young, Joanna's young, and Lexi's young, and I'm kind of young. But you get what I'm talking about. So it's just like we have an opportunity here to get some 20-year-old that might still be coming to our establishment when she's 60. And it be like, you know, my mom's case. So why would I aim for a higher age demographic?
No. Yeah.
It doesn't make sense, right?
I completely agree.
So, boom. So as we put that in, and because of, you know, the environment that I grew up, I'm like, I can keep a theme going when it comes to, like, that young sassiness, like that young
IG attitude, all that.
Yeah. And, you know, and especially with women empowerment, the women empowerment movement, but not just like the obnoxious women empowerment movement, but like women who are actually killing shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Women who you just see and you're just like, yo, she's, you know, she climbed the corporate ladder. She's doing this. She's doing that. She runs three businesses. She, like, no excuses, women, right? Like, you women, like the, you know, like the young lady we interviewed last week, but
boss.
So that's like the mentality where you tell them you can't afford a house. You're not working enough. You're not doing enough. You're not learning enough. You're not, like, stop putting excuses for yourself. So that's the type of mentality that I wanted to carry over to a beauty salon. And now I think it's getting its footing. And every week I'm adding certain things to it to where it's like, give me 3 weeks.
It's going to get there. I mean, look at your very first G-cut spot. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You went from doing a closet to expanding there to opening a new shop to expanding that shop to opening a second shop. Like, I have no doubt.
You know, I was feeling like crap. It must have been about a week ago because it was before I started getting things like from Amazon and mm-hmm. Etsy and all that for the beauty salon. And I was just like, yo, are you in over your head? Are you in over your head? And I'm cutting up this kid who I've been cutting since he was in middle school, I believe. And now he's in his second to last year for engineering in Berkeley. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So he's doing the damn thing. I'm proud of him. But I'm telling him, almost scared, like, yo, you know, I'm sorry about the changes. And because last week I had to stop cutting at the studio and head back over there for training purposes to BU Hermosa. So I'm over there and I just told him, like almost scared to tell him, like, fuck, what's he going to say? Are my customers going to be like, damn, again? Damn, we're headed that way? Damn. So I'm already expecting, like, to apologize to him, right? So I'm like, yeah, brother, I'll be here. I want to build up the beauty salon. I want to make sure that the vision is set before I leave. And this kid, without flinching, goes, if anyone can do it, it's you.
Mm-hmm.
And he had more confidence in me than me at that moment. I swear to God. He literally, he you know, he stopped me and he was just like, I've seen everything you've done. He's all like, if anyone can do it, it's you. You got the motivation. You got the drive. He's all like, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to come back and I'm going to see the salon and I'm going to be like, damn, I got to bring my girl here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and things like that. So I was just like, it left me a little bit in shock. But then when he left, I was just thinking and I was thinking, I was like, damn, if anyone could do it, it probably is me.
Man, like, basketball terms, me and you constantly go through, bro, like, fuck, all odds stacked against you, bro. Be cool.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. AI, you know, Kobe.
Jordan. Be a killer, bro.
Yeah, it's definitely. But here's the thing. One thing is to want to have the desire to do it and not just want to, but I have the desire. I'm not doubting my desire or my passion or my dedication. No one puts in more hours than me, you know? So for me, it's not that. It all boils down to I have capacities as well. There's an education level that I hit as well. There's a time issue level that I hit as well. If I was single, I wouldn't have that. If I didn't have kids, I would probably live at the shop. So there's levels that I'm hitting where it's just like, okay, now I got to break the ceiling, and I'm hitting the ceiling, but it's just like, what is it going to take to break that ceiling and get to the next level?
I got news for you, brother. You're going to get there, and then a year, 2 years, there's going to be a new ceiling.
No, I guarantee that.
And there's going to be harder problems and bigger problems.
That's true.
And you already know what it takes, and you'll do it. You'll be fine.
That's where we're at right now. So, you know, I want to take a moment as well to apologize, right? I want to apologize to a lot of my customers and barbers, because being on my team is a hectic thing. You know, because sometimes, and this, I've heard this, the only like good thing I have is, to say about this is like, they said the same thing about Steve Jobs. They say the same thing about every, and I'm not comparing myself to Steve Jobs in any way, shape, or form, but I'm talking about like when you're with people who are creative and who don't believe that they have like limitations, the things that other people are like, oh, I should do that and I should do that. And then they're like, yeah, but I'm not gonna. Because they put that limitation. For me, I don't believe I have a limitation. So sometimes I have to go find out the hard way that I can't do that. So my apology would be to people as they're in these weird stages. It's almost like the stock market. Where if you follow the stock market, for all my traders out there, If you're a day trader, or if you're buying stocks thinking like you're gonna buy and sell, it can get very depressive. You bought here, bought at the wrong time, now it's here. But I don't know about you guys, but I remember when I tried day trading, I found myself like on my phone every 10 minutes to see how's the market doing, and it's stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So to my customers, it's like, you bought a stock in me years ago. 5 years ago, you bought some stock and we've been doing this. We're still up. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's still a great stock, but it's going to be one of those stocks that I promise. You know what I mean? Like, I put my everything into making sure that whoever bought my stock when I was starting, they'll be able to sell at the highest price possible. We're just at a rocky stage. So let me figure some things out. Let me grow. Let me put the work in. Let me put some people near me that say, let me take this off of you. Let me take this off of you. And let me, you know what? I'm good with numbers. Once the team is set, you'll understand that my creativity will be able, like I will be able to be the ambitious, visionary guy that I am, because that's just the way that my brain is. But be patient with me. And stay tuned, because I got some good stuff coming up. So that's what I wanted to let everybody know. Thank you for interviewing me and letting me get all this BS off my chest.
Necessary.
Necessary, yeah. And then I forgive people because they had to see me without a haircut today. Shit.
Me too.
No, but you got to cover it with a hat. You know how ridiculous I would have looked with a hat?
Would have been fine.
No.
Los Doyers.
Yeah.
There you go, bro.
Let me. All right, guys. Appreciate you guys for bullshitting with me and giving me this time.
Later, guys. Give my boy some time.